Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 12 lines from the top of Daf Chof Beis. You'll notice a slash mark in the middle of the line. The beginning words of the Gemara, Chatos Behemo De'eno Bo. The Gemara is accompanied by an arrow that you will see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This arrow indicates to look at Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis. If you glance back at Chof Aleph Amud Beis and find the corresponding arrow, you will notice that at that point the Gemara had made a reference to the Chatos Behemoth, that it is something that comes from mundane sources, from chulin funds. At this point, the Gemara is going to investigate that particular issue. You will have noticed, by the way, on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, at the top line, another arrow also to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. So the Gemara here wants to know, what's the basis for that particular teaching? Chatos behemo de'eno bo elo min achulin min olon. If one has the obligation of bringing a sin offering animal, he must purchase it from personal funds. From where do we know this? Omar Rav Chisda, the Omar Kro, v'hikriv Aaron es par hachatos asher loy. This pasuk is from the Yom Kippur service in the Beis Hamikdash, where a par, a cow, hachatos, a sin offering cow, is brought by Aaron, and the pasuk says asher loy, mishelo, meaning from his own funds, velo mishel tzibur, velo mishel meiser. It shall not come from public funds, nor from meiser money. Meiser money would be a situation where a person had tithed his fruits, and 10% of his fruits on the first, second, fourth and fifth years of the agricultural cycle, one-tenth of one's produce is to be brought to Yerushalayim, and in the event that he can't bring the fruits, he can transfer their sanctity onto money and spend the money for food in Yerushalayim. He is not to take that money and buy the Korban Chatos. Another point that was mentioned on Chof Aleph Amud Beis, and you will also have an arrow here to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This corresponds to the arrow on Chof Aleph Amud Beis, also to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. That you'll find the second line from the top. Actually, if for greater accuracy, we can make reference to the first line. The second line from the top is actually good enough. And we're going to ask here, regarding the Ola Sa'of, we thought over there that Ola Sa'of is to be brought by day as being something derived from the Chatos Behemo. And that's what it said on the second line from the top. So focusing on the source for Ola Sa'of being brought by day, the Gemara here asks, Bayom mi biyom tzavoso nafka. It's learned from another pasuk where it says Bayom tzavoso, by korbanos, that they are to be brought by day, and not learned from the Chatos Behema. The Gemara answers, you're right, kedi naspa. The reference on Chof Aleph Amud Beis in the Tanaic source to the bird being learned from the Chatos Behemoth with regard to daytime is really for naught. It's not learned from there, it's learned from Beyom Tzavoso. Question, Yodo Hayamonis. We were taught there on Chof Aleph Amud Beis that Yodo Hayamonis, that it's to be done with the right hand, the blood sprinkling of the bird offering is done with the right hand. as being derived from the Chatos Behema. The Gemara here asks, but there seems to be another source for that. Midarabo Barba Chano Nafka. It's learned from his teaching. The Omar Rabo Barba Chano Omar Bishumim Ben Lokish. Kol Mokoyim Shenemar Etzba Oi Kahuna Eino Elo Yamin. Wherever you see the words Etzba or Kahuna, that's an indication that the Korban is supposed to be processed with the right hand. So the question here is, why are you telling me that I'm going to learn it right hand from Chatos Behema when it's learned from the presence of either word Etzba or Kahuna? Rashi points out, by the Ola Sa'of, the Pasuk says V'hikriv HaKohen. So you have the word Kahuna in the context of Chatos of the Ola Sa'of. That should be the source for right-handedness. V'idach, the opinion of our Tanakamo holds differently. Kahuna bayo etzba. Etzba lo bayo kahuna. He is of the opinion that if you have the word kahuna alone, that is not sufficient to teach me right-handedness. And in fact, by the Olas Nedova, you have the word kohen. The word etzba, when it appears, it will teach me right-handedness, even if you don't have the word kohen. Therefore, olas ha'of and right-handedness cannot be derived from Rabo Barbachano's method, because if that were the case, I have only kahuna by the olas ha'of. Therefore, it's necessary for me to learn from the Chatos Behema, in which you have the word etzba. Now the Gemara asks another question. V'tanakamo v'rebelozer b'rebi Shimon. Rashi points out the Tanakamo, who had used the word kamishpot to tell me that the Ola Sa'of is compared to the Chatos Behema. This, of course, is all contained in our previous shiur that was on Daf Chof Aleph. Rashi here makes simple mention of what was learned there, that the Tanakama learned from the word Kamishpot a comparison between the Ola Sa'of and Chatos Behema. Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon had used Kamishpot to compare the Ola Sa'of to the Chatos Sa'of with regard to the fact that it's not completely severed, that the Ola Sa'of two neck organs are only rove cut, not completely cut. According to these two Tanoim, Mimul Ha'oiref Mino Lahu, where do they learn that the Malika is done from the back of the neck by the Ola Sa'of? This idea of Mimul Oiref was in fact something that Rabbi Yishmoel had derived from the use of the word kamishpot, comparing the Ola Sa'of to the Chata Sa'of, to teach me Mimul Oref. But the other two Tanaic opinions that we just cited, the Tanakamo and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, did not learn his way, didn't learn like Rabbi Yishmoel. So the question is, according to them, where do they learn Mimul Oref from? That the Malika of the Ola Sa'of is done from the back of the neck. Answer, Gamri Malika Mi Malika. They use what's called the Ma Motsinu method of learning, which is a logical type approach, meaning just like we find Malika, there's a precedent for Malika by Chataso from the back of the neck, so too wherever else you require Malika, namely the Ola Sa'of, it too will be from the back of the neck. The Mishnah. Kosher b'turim, posel b'vnei Yonah. Kosher b'vnei Yonah, posel b'turim. Turim and b'nei Yonah are the two types of birds that are suitable for bird offerings. So the Mishnah declares that that which is acceptable when it comes to the turim would be unacceptable by the b'nei Yonah, and vice versa as well. Tchilas hatzihuv bozeh u'bozeh posel. The stage of development that's referred to as Trilas Hatziuv, this is a situation where the neck feathers start turning we'll call it yellowish or golden color, that stage of development would be unacceptable for Torim and for B'nai Yonah. Taking a look at the Rashi on the Mishnah, he has Hochi Garcina b'Masnis and Tchilas Atziuv Shebozev as Apostle. Tchilas Atziuv Kishemaschilim Lahavi Noitzi Yofet Tzuvah Saviv Latzavor. When they start to produce a nice yellowish feather or plume around its neck, Psulin Vaze Ubaze. Kach Meforish B'Gemora. The B'nei Yonah Psulim Mishum Godlan. As far as the B'nei Yonah are concerned, this level of development would indicate that it's too old to be acceptable. Ubetorin mitnei kotnan, and as far as the Torin birds, this is still too young to be acceptable. The yotsu michlau tanim uchal gdolim lobo. When you reach this stage of tchilas hatziu, they have left smallness and yet not reached bigness. The Gemara, Tana Rabbana, Torin gedolim sheirim ktanim psulim. When it comes to the Torin, only when they are large or adult-like, they are acceptable. When they are small, they're unacceptable. The opposite is the case with B'nai Yonah, ktanim ksherim gedolim psulim. The B'nai Yonah, when they're small, they're acceptable. When they're large, they're unacceptable. Result of this is, like we saw in the Mishnah, nimsa kosher b'torin posel b'nei yonah, that which is acceptable by the Torin would be unacceptable by the b'nei yonah. Kosher b'nei yonah, that which is acceptable by the b'nei yonah, meaning something that's young, posel b'torin would be unacceptable with regard to the Torin, because Torin have to be brought only when they are large, not small. Tono Rabbanon, we have a Tanaic source that continues along the same lines, elaborating on the Torim and B'nai Yonah and their respective age requirements, age in terms of size, level of development. Torim Gedolim Velo Ketanim. The Posuk makes reference to bringing Torim. So we are understanding that Torim means large and not small ones. Small meaning youth, young in development. Sheyachol, I might have thought without this declaration, I would have thought v'halo din hu. Logic would have led me to an opposite conclusion. Uma b'nei yonah shelo huchshu b'gdoilim huchshu b'ketanim, the b'nei yonah which are not acceptable large but are acceptable small. Torim shehuchshu b'gdolim, eno din shehuchshu b'ketanim, the Torim which are acceptable as large, certainly they should be acceptable when small. After all, there's a precedent for accepting small, young birds. That's in the case of the B'nai Yonah. So, with the logic, I would conclude that Torim, small ones, would be good. Talmud Lomar, Torim. Therefore, the Torah comes along and uses the word Torim, which conveys the idea of gedolim velo ketanim. How we see this in the words will be clarified later in the Gemara, but at this point, though, we are accepting it as axiomatic that Torim means something large. Large and to the exclusion of that which is young. B'nai Yonah equals ketanim velo gedolim. The B'nai Yonah is specifically something small and not something large. Sheyachol, logic would have led me to think the opposite. Valo dinhu, through logic I would have come out to an opposite conclusion. Uma torim shelo huchshu b'ketanim huchshu b'gdolim, the torim birds which are not acceptable as small but are acceptable large. B'nai Yonah shehuchshu b'ketanim einu din shehuchshu b'gdolim, the B'nai Yonah with which we have a precedent for accepting small, certainly we should accept large. After all, with regard to large, we see that is already accepted by the Torim. Therefore, the Pasuk comes along to exclude that possibility, Talmud Lomar B'nai Yonah, which means ketanim velo gedolim. At this point, the Gemara now enters the picture and wants to know, how do you see these claims from through the words my Talmudah? How do you see from the words that the B'nai Yonah are specifically small and not to include large ones? Omar Rava, Lo lishtamit kro velichtoiv min b'nei hatorim o min hayona. If there were some flexibility or choices with regard to ages of these birds, then at some point in the Torah there should have been a reference to b'nei torim and yona. However, every time these birds appear, you always see them appearing in the Torah as torim without the b'nei, and b'nei yona, the compound expression b'nei yona. The term b'nei implies something small. The fact that b'nei yona has the b'nei word accompanying yona, that shows us, as we just said, something young. The Gemara now asks, Eimo b'nei yona de kosubu rachmona b'nei equals ketanim in gedolim lo. Granted, by b'nei yona, since the word b'nei appears together with the word yona, I can understand that the Torah is limiting me to the young variety of the b'nei yona, and not adult ones. Torim, however, with regard to the torim birds, the torim type bird, e boi gedolim laisi e boi ketanim laisi. Maybe you have a choice when it comes to the torim. The Gemara answers, no, we don't have a choice. With regard to the torim, they must be adult. Dumio de b'nei yona. The Torah wants us to compare the torim to the b'nei yona in the sense that, as follows, ma b'nei yona ketanimin gedolim lo, just like by the b'nei yona, only one situation is allowed, namely youth and not adult. Af torim, likewise, with regard to the torim, only one stage of development will be allowed, gedolim in ketanim lo, only adult and not young. Tonu Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source continuing in this vein of discussion, the descriptions of the Torim and B'nei Yona. Yochol yu kol ha-Torim v'chol B'nei ha-Yona k'sherim. Could it be entertained that all Torim and all B'nei Yona would be acceptable? Rashi explains, Yochlu kol haturim sherim mishiyotsu michlal ktanis. And all b'nei yona, meaning as long as they haven't arrived at adulthood, would they be acceptable? This phrase, of course, is, you can see, is not to be translated literally. When the expression kol haturim appears, it doesn't mean literally all turim, but it means, could it be that all Turim, once they leave Katnus, and all B'nei Yona, as long as they have not achieved Godless, would they be acceptable? Talmud Lomar, the Torah says not so. It says, Min HaTorim, V'lo Kol HaTorim. Min B'nei HaYona, V'lo Kol B'nei Yona. The word Min is exclusionary. It means you can bring from the Torah. It means from amongst adult Torim, but not all forms of, let's say, non-Ketanim Torim. Likewise, the Torah says, Min B'nei Hayona, means you can bring from amongst the non-adult B'nei Yona, but not from all non-adult B'nei Yona. What are we, in effect, excluding? Prat L'tchilas Hatziuv Shebozeh v'shebozeh sheposel. We noticed Rashi on the Mishnah. This was a reference Rashi described there as the yellowing of neck feathers. The yellowing of neck feathers is a situation where it's left its state of katnus, of youngness, but it hasn't achieved yet gadlus, let's say adulthood as far as birds are concerned. So since it's this, we'll call this interim phase, the Pasuk is excluding them, namely, Tchilas Hatziuv of Torim and Tchilas Hatziuv of B'nei Yona will both be unacceptable. Me'emosai HaTorim Kshirim, from what point can Torim be considered acceptable? Mishayazhivu, from the point that their body feathers start to yellow or turn golden in color. Me'emosai b'nei Yona psulim, from what point are b'nei Yona unacceptable? Mishayazhivu, from the point at which the neck feathers start turning yellow. Tani Yankiv Karcha. Yankiv Karcha has the following Tanaic source that he teaches. Me'emosai b'nei Yona k'sherim. From what point are the b'nei Yona acceptable? Now let's remind ourselves that b'nei Yona, we said specifically when they're young, they are kosher. So it seems maybe an odd question, from what point are they kosher? Well, you would say, if b'nei Yona are limited to the young variety, then right at the beginning they should be kosher. So Rashi explains that as soon as the bird is hatched from the egg, it's considered mo'os, or disgusting. That one would not bring as a sacrifice. Hence, even from the beginning point, there is room for asking this question, even though we're dealing with the B'nai Yona. Nevertheless, from what point are they kosher, understanding that from the day that they hatch from the egg, they are not going to be acceptable? So at what point do they start becoming acceptable? So the source says, Mi she'ye'al'u. Now, that expression needs clarification. Hu toni lavu amarlo. Yankov Korcha, he taught this source, and he also explains what he means. There's a pasuk, it says, Efrechov ye'al'u dam. So you see the word ye'al'u in this pasuk, and we ask, Emas, so from what point is that? Amar Abaye, mechishamit gadfa mine v'osi doma. It's a point of development at which you would notice the following. Shomit gadfa mine, a feather, if it were, let's say, plucked from the bird, and there would be a drop of blood that appears in its spot. That would show that it's reached a certain level of development, from which point we say it would be acceptable as a sacrifice. We now encounter a triangle around Boi Rebbe Zera. We're going to notice this triangle appearing again around Boi Rebbe Zera in the upcoming sugyas, namely on Daf Chof Gimel Amid Aleph and Chof Gimel Amid Beis. We will notice this triangle around Boi Rebbe Zera. There's a common thread to the questions that he will be asking. The common thread has to do with one who accepts through a vow to bring something that is in an interim stage of development. In this case, we'll be talking about bird offerings. On Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, we'll be talking about an animal offering, where there is also a type of animal that is, we'll call it, of an interim stage of nature. And on Chof Gimel Amud Beis, he will get into a discussion concerning chometz and matzah with regard to the lachmei todah, where dough at a certain stage of development seems to be somewhere between chometz and matzah, somewhere between the pre-fermented stage and actual fermented stage. So here, since we're dealing with the topic of bird offerings and Torim and B'nai Yona, Rebbe Zera asks his question, Boy Rebbe Zera, Ha'omer harei olai oilo min ha-Torim oi min ha-B'nai Yona. Someone accepts upon himself a vow to bring a bird ola offering from either Torim and B'nai Yona. Ve'hevi t'chilas ha-tziuv shebozeh v'shebozeh mahu. And he brings either a Torim or a B'nai Yona bird that's experiencing the beginning of the neck feathers turning yellow. What is the din? Mahu. Sveiko havi v'nofik. Do we view the Trilas Hatzihuv as being an issue of doubt, meaning it's doubtful whether it's still considered Ktanim or maybe Gedolim? This fellow included in his vow he covered himself, that his ola will be from either Torim or Bnei Yonah. So if you say that it's an issue of a suffik, so by bringing the Tchilas HaTzihuv Shebozeh V'Shebozeh, he brings a Tchilas HaTzihuv Torim and a Tchilas HaTzihuv Ben Yonah, one of them will be good, because one of them is going to be the proper age if you view it as a Sveika. Or possibly Bria Have Velo Nofik, or it's a separate category altogether, and he said he would bring Torim or Bnei Yonah, not this separate category. Omar Rava Toshma. So Rava says we can learn from the following source. Prat l'tchilas hatziuv shebozeh v'shebozeh sheposel. The Mishnah ruled that Torim and Bnei Yonah, when you have tchilas hatziuv reached, it's no good. And this was learned from the psukim, the words Torim, and we said min ha-Torim and min Bnei Hayonah. So we used a posuk to exclude the tchilas hatziuv of both of these. If you say that Tchilas HaTziuv represents a third category of bird, Shapir, then it's reasonable to say that a Pasuk comes to exclude a unique category of bird. However, if you view Tchilas HaTziuv as a matter of doubt, it's derech kro limutei sveika. Do you think the Torah, the pasuk, would be coming to exclude something that is a matter of doubt, as if to say that in heaven they have a doubt? And of course, that's not the case. Klapei Shmaya, as far as heaven is concerned, the Torah is concerned, there's nothing that's of a doubt. And hence, taking the approach that Tchilas HaTziuv represents a unique category, something that could not be categorized halachically as Torim nor Bnei Yonah, then we understand that we're using the pasuk to exclude it. And of course, with regard to Rabbi Zera's question, being that we were classified as a Bria, he would not be Yotze his nether, which was to bring either Torim or Bnei Yonah. The Gemara at the top of Chof Gimel rejects this approach and says that in fact Tchilas HaTzihu may be an issue of doubt, and as far as the role of the Pasuk is concerned, it was coming to exclude something else altogether. As far as our Shir is concerned, we will have to end the discussion at this point, being that the answer, or the, we'll call it the rejection, takes up the majority of Chof Gimel Amud Aleph. So, Emir Tzashem, next time a little word of review will be in order, but for right now, we will conclude our Shiur at this point for today.